You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
When I look around my campus, I see the faces of the women affected by this lack of contraceptive coverage.
If she's really concerned about the rights of privacy, she should keep her private sexual business to herself and pay for it herself.
Have we become a country where it's okay to go to church on Sunday morning for 1 hour, but let's not actually express those beliefs the rest of the week?
If you really hold to sola scriptura, you're going to hold to solus Christus, meaning all theology is Christology.
Organists in Indiana love Issues Etc.
You've been hearing the word a lot in the press lately. It's always there because the Roman Catholic Church always makes the news one way or the other. But with the HHS mandate and the letters from bishops to their congregations here in the U.S., the word Catholic has been written a lot in the papers, on the internet, and spoken a lot in the rest of the media. What does the media mean when they use that word? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon, March the 14th. We're broadcasting live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. We'll be talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of secular Catholics. A little bit later, vocation and sport will be our subject with Pastor Paul Schluter. We'll round off the first hour, a conversation with Pastor Colt Ulmer on the First Commandment and your kids. And in the second hour of the program, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. We'll talk about two things with him: the one-year anniversary of the Japanese tsunami and a simple way to pray. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us after that. We'll talk about two issues in the UK, same-sex marriage, and a possible ban on the workplace crucifix. That's in hour two of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about media coverage of secular Catholics, Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here as always.
This is, I know we've talked about it many times, it's come up half a dozen times in the last year, probably, in my conversations with you, your pet peeve about how the media uses that word, Catholic.
Well, we're seeing it especially right now, since we're in primary seasons, and we have, you know, two of the, I guess, four remaining GOP candidates are strikingly different kinds of Catholics. But yet, over and over, we see, for example, let's take the case of Rick Santorum. We're seeing references to the fact that it's highly ironic that this Catholic candidate is losing, quote, the Catholic vote. And that's the term you and I have discussed in the past, which is the Catholic vote. And the assumption seems to be, A, that there is such a thing as a Catholic vote, and B, that it would be logical for all Catholics to vote for the same kind of Catholic candidate. That in effect there are Catholic candidates and there are not Catholic candidates. All of this just drives me absolutely crazy, because anybody who knows anything about the makeup of Catholic life in the United States today knows that Catholics are all over the place, that there's this huge spectrum, and that the key factor is this. The key factor is how often the Catholics go to church, and specifically, a factor within that is how often do they go to confession. Now, I think in the past we shared with listeners my set of my grid, my typology for Catholic voters, and this is now something that we're going to have to start talking about coverage of Catholics just in general now with something like this, and I'm going to have to do my own version of the Catholic voter typology. It goes something like this at this point on the electoral issues. Catholic voter number one is actually an ex-Catholic. And if this ex-Catholic has gone out into the word of non-affiliated, you know, they're the unchurched now, they're almost always going to go Democrat. If they join liberal mainline Protestants, they tend to vote like other liberal mainline Protestants. But if they go to evangelical churches, the ex-Catholic turns into a conservative voter. So there's three different realities even within that one term for the ex-Catholic vote, if there is such a thing. The second thing is what some people call a cultural Catholic. And this is the person who, if you walk up to them and say, you know, what are you? They'll say, I'm Catholic. And in reality, though, they go to church maybe like once or twice a year, maybe occasionally for a wedding or a baptism. It's really a part of their cultural and family background, but they don't have an active sacramental Catholic faith. The third group, and I can do this real quick, the third group is the typical goes to church on Sunday morning American Catholic. And this person might be highly active in their parish. They might also be the person that just shows up, you know, 3 out of 4 weeks. Your typical normal American churchgoer, just the Catholic variety. My research indicates that this is the folks that are actually the swing voters. These are the people whose votes are kind of up in the air. The fourth group is what a wise old priest once called the goes to confession and sweats the details Catholic. And that's people who are very serious about the sacramental practice of their Catholic faith, including confession. And sadly, the evidence is that that might be as little as 3 to 5% of the American Catholic population.
So listen
to all the layers there.
Is this journalistic laziness or a failure to understand not just Catholics, but kind of the religion in general?
Well, let's face it. It starts with the pollsters. To some degree, the journalists are just reporting what the pollsters say. But at the same time, the journalists ought to know by now. I mean, the Pew Gap studies over the last election, say everything after 2000. Journalists ought to know right now that the single greatest determiner of how people vote in this country is how often they go to church. I mean, that ought to be common knowledge. Every editor in America ought to know that at this point. So the minute you start talking about one mythological, monolithic Catholic vote, journalists ought to just crack up laughing. It's just too simplistic. It doesn't work. There are multiple Catholic votes, and we must take that into account not only when we're covering politics, but we got to take it into account when we talk about covering the Catholic Church, period. We can't assume that there is one Catholic perspective, even though in a church that's based on a hierarchy and has a catechism and whatever else, there should be, theoretically, one Catholic position on lots and lots of issues, but that just simply isn't the reality in American life anymore.
So this would fundamentally change how the press covers things like statements out of the Vatican, wouldn't it?
Well, it would mainly change how you cover reaction to statements out of the Vatican. The Vatican's the Vatican, but you then turn right around and you have to say, okay, and Catholics responded by saying, at which point you have to say, who? What kind of Catholics? I wrote my column on this week in the wake of a controversial advertisement that ran last week in the New York Times, where they ran what even Catholics on the left would consider a pretty strong anti-Catholic ad, and it came from the Freedom from Religion Foundation. And it basically said, Catholics, it's time, liberal and nominal Catholics, it's time to consider quitting the church. It's time to get out. It's time to give up. Well, in researching that, I ran into an exchange that happened the other day between an anchor for CNN named Kyra Phillips and the bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Maine, which is currently involved in a gay rights issue and dispute up there, involving the voters getting to vote on gay marriage. Well, the exchange went something like this. The anchor said, so Bishop, times are changing, views are changing, so why not get on board with the 43% of Catholics? When you look at it on the screen, you can kind of see the bishop's looking there going like, you can hear it in his voice like, what? And he responds, the 43% who, and the anchor says, who have no problem with gay marriage. And the bishop then finally says, well, their thinking is outside the realm of Catholic teaching for 2,000 years. In other words, these are the people whose minds we've got to change. My point in my column is that we're talking about two completely different kinds of Catholics. The bishop is talking about one kind of Catholic, and the CNN anchor is talking about another. When she says 43% of Catholics, you know, in America now support gay marriage or have no problem with gay marriage, that's probably true. 43% of people who identify themselves as either Catholic or of Catholic background probably do support gay marriage at this point. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But does that mean the people who are at Catholic altars and in Catholic pews week after week, Sunday after Sunday, let alone those who line up, you know, on a fairly regular basis to say their confession and are have a ongoing sacramental relationship with the Catholic Church, are we supposed to believe that 43% of those Catholics believe in gay marriage? I mean, I would assume that's not the case. We're dealing here with different kinds of Catholics. I'm sure you see the same thing in the world, that don't you flinch every time you pick up a newspaper and you see a reference to the Lutheran said this?
Absolutely.
Now, the difference is that there you have different denominations. You have different seals and different banners and whatever. What we don't have right now is any sort of kind of honest flag-flying division in American Catholic life between the people who back the Vatican and the people who, to one degree or another, oppose the Vatican or think they can eventually outvote the Vatican or, I don't know, out-educate or outspend the Vatican. There's a variety of different kinds of Catholics, different kinds of Catholic schools, different kinds of Catholic parishes, different kinds of Catholic orders. They're just not as, they're not labeled accurately the way they are right now within Lutheranism.
More with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service on media coverage of Catholics after this.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, March the 14th. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of secular Catholics. Now, Terry, you won't hear this term used a lot in the media, although it is bouncing around in the para-media of the internet, I think, a lot, and that is the term anti-Catholic. If you were sitting down to write the style book as an editor, how would you define that word? What ought that term, anti-Catholic, mean when it's used in the press?
Well, I don't know precisely what it means, but I would say this. When you see people attacking religious believers for their doctrinal beliefs and for their religious practices, I think flags must go up, period. I mean, that when you're actually making fun of or viciously attacking people for the content of their religious beliefs, that's when warning sirens go off. And that's kind of what the arguments we're seeing about right now with this New York Times ad, because the New York Times decided to accept this virulently anti-Catholic ad, which, by the way, you can make a strong case that the New York Times has every right to accept that ad, that they're not responsible for the contents of the ads they run. You can have that argument. A lot of people aren't going to buy it, but you can have the argument. What's significant is that they turned right back around, and another group ran the exact same ad. I mean, the same graphics. They substituted different pictures. They used the same lines, the same type font. They did exactly the same style. And they billed it as an open letter to moderate Muslims on why it's time for moderate Muslims to get out of their faith, to go somewhere else because of how their faith treats women. Line for line, this ad echoes the Catholic ad, and the New York Times rejected this ad as anti-Muslim. That's going to cause debates, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it raises something really rather complicated, and that is, well, I guess I'll let you answer the question. Do you think that the media and the press have an axe to grind themselves when it comes to that Catholic narrowly defined that you talked about, Vatican-style Catholicism?
Well, I think the great Catholic theologian Maureen Dowd, a number of years ago, back at the height of the controversies over Clinton, President Clinton, put this best. In the column where she switched from being someone who was highly critical of Clinton because of the way he treated women and the accusations against him, when it suddenly became apparent that the man might actually get impeached, she switched, and in a key column, she accused cultural conservatives of not having any perspective on sex anymore. And she basically says the Republicans are trying to repeal Woodstock. And I've always thought that that's the best statement of it. That in the broad sense of the word, this all boils down to some degree to whether you are pro or against kind of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll era of the 60s. And a lot of journalists, that is their culture. That's the generation who's writing our editorials now, who's running our newspapers. And I think they do have a bit of a blind spot on how this ends up affecting their coverage. Bill Keller, until recently the editor of the New York Times, you and I talked about this not long ago. After all, Keller said the other day that the New York Times is not a biased newspaper except on issues of culture and morality and religion. And he cited like creationism and versus evolution. He cited gay marriage. And basically what he ended up saying was, on those issues, we believe the culture has spoken, and you no longer have to do fair journalistic coverage of that. And Keller himself refers to himself as a collapsed Catholic.
One more real quick question. Do you think that the media has finally wised up and realized that in the culture wars, Roman Catholics, and here again, Vatican-style Roman Catholics, have been and remain on the front line? Do you think they figured that out?
Well, they are obsessed with evangelicals. I think that's the subtext of your column. Right now, they want to say to some degree that the evangelicals are the key figures in the culture wars. However, the whole battle over the Health and Human Services rules have pointed out to everybody that the Catholic Church, the traditional elements of the Catholic Church, are very much alive and well and having to defend their turf. The other question, though, that I think reporters have to ask right now is, to what degree has this idea that you can kind of like make up your own version of the faith yet still call yourself a member of the faith? How has that kind of soft religion versus active religion, specific religion versus vague religion, how has that become, in effect, the dominant story, the dominant news story of our world today in terms of religion? They shouldn't be talking anymore about what Jews believe or what Catholics believe or even what Baptists believe, or I would say even what evangelicals believe. They automatically have to say, wait a minute, who are we talking about? How much do they actually practice their faith, and what do they believe? The labels are now officially meaningless. They're too vague. We have to go inside and find out what people actually believe.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest this week.
Glad to be here again.